And if you would please take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament, to the gospel record of Mark, Mark chapter 5. In your Bibles, please, Mark chapter 5. It's amazing how the Lord put that together in the first verse of her song. It talks about a woman touching the hem of Christ's garment. And that's exactly part of the passage that we're going to look at this morning. I love the Word of God, don't you? I'm always excited for the opportunity to open it together. I'm grateful to Pastor for the opportunity to preach. We're certainly praying for him and the group that's there with them in England, but I'm excited about this opportunity to open God's Word together with you, Mark chapter 5, and let's begin reading. Of course, many of us are familiar with what takes place at the beginning of the chapter, Mark chapter 5. The Lord Jesus goes across the Sea of Galilee to the region of Decapolis, specifically the area of the Gadarenes, and he meets what we commonly refer to as the maniac of Gadara. Of course, that name really only fits before he meets Jesus, because after he meets Jesus, the Bible says that he's seated and clothed and in his right mind. And by the way, that's an indication, again, that you've trusted Christ as Savior when God changes your life. Aren't you grateful for the difference the gospel can make in your life? And then the Bible says at the end of that, towards the end of that passage, that they ask Jesus to leave that part of the country, and he's getting ready to do that. The maniac wants to be with Jesus. There's another indication that the Lord has changed your life when you want to be with him. And that's certainly the case. And then Jesus tells him, no, I want you to stay here and tell the folks in your hometown, in your region, what great things God has done for you. And the man does that. The Bible says he obeys. And that is an indication that the Lord has changed your life when you're willing to be obedient to the Lord. But none of those things are the message. That's just the context. Notice what the Bible says in verse 21 of Mark chapter 5. Notice what the Bible says. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship on the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. If you would skip down for time's sake to verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. I want to speak to you for just a few minutes this morning on the subject that we find in verse 36, only believe. Jesus comes to this man in his hour of immense grief. This man had come to Christ, and we'll talk more about this in just a minute. He'd come to Christ with a need that only the Lord Jesus could meet. His daughter was at the point of death. And now on the way to the house, on the way for Jesus to meet his need, the Bible says now that the news comes that it's too late. Verse 35, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? It's hopeless. The minute to work is now past. The time of opportunity is over. And the Bible says, I love what the text says in verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard. He didn't wait. He didn't let Jairus hang on the line for a while. Oh, no. He said, as soon as he heard what was spoken, the Bible says that he saith to the ruler of the synagogue, he says to Jairus these five words, be not afraid, only believe. And I want to speak to you for just a few minutes on that subject, only believe. Pray that God will help us. Father, thank you for your word, and we thank you for the singing. We thank you for our hearts have been encouraged. The singing of the choir, the special music, the congregational singing, the fellowship that we've had. Lord, we're grateful for all that has happened in this service. But Lord, now as we turn our attention to your word, certainly the great need of this hour is to hear from you. So Lord, we pray that you would do a work in each and every heart that's gathered here. All of us, Lord, need to hear from your word and need to have our hearts opened by it. So we pray that you'll do your work among us today. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you in advance for all that you're going to do, for we ask these things in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we live in an increasingly fearful society. I was reminded in the prayer sheet, I believe it was on Wednesday night, Pastor had that verse put on the cover says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is a reminder that all of God's people need from time to time, for we live in a day and age that is increasingly fearful. We have more phobias, and probably I have quite a few of them. I'm scared of heights. That's pretty interesting considering how tall I am right now. There's a lot of other fears. Some people are deathly afraid of closed-in spaces. I had the privilege to serve with somebody in North Carolina that if you stood in his doorway of his office, he could get scared that he didn't have an escape. It was just, he didn't like somebody preventing or cutting off his way of escape. I said, well, what's wrong with you, man? I mean, like, are you nervous that I'm here or something? I mean, it's interesting, right? Some people are just very scared. They're scared of things. We're scared of diseases. We're scared of a lot of different situations. We're scared of getting sick. I'm reminded of even Job. The Bible says in chapter 1 of Job that he offered sacrifices to God continually. He said, it may be that one of my children have sinned. The Bible says that he did that continually. He was concerned that his children may have sinned and didn't know it, and he wanted God's blessing on his family. You know, we can be scared of a lot of things. Here in our text, we're introduced to a man who has a very real, this is not just a fearful thing, this is a very real need that he has in his life. His daughter is at the point of death. He does, by the way, what all of us should do when we have a serious situation like that in our lives. We ought to bring it to Christ. In spite of fear, what always happens in the Christian life is there is the fear and there's the faith, and they're pulling against each other to see which one will win. That was certainly true in Jairus' life, and it can be true in our Christian lives as well. So what I want us to do is we look at this text and what Jesus' message to this man, Jairus, was. I hope all of us can learn some things about how to please God, about how to see God work miraculously even in our lives. I want you to notice, first of all, with me in the text, we come, first of all, to this point. Number one, there's a desperate desire. A desperate desire. Notice verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Jairus came to Christ. And as you can see in the passage, God actually answers his prayer. What is Jairus' prayer? Come to my house, right? I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, verse 23, that she may be healed and she shall live. His prayer is very simple. Lord, I need you to come to my house. I need you to lay hands on her. She is at the point of death. And notice in verse 24, the Bible says, and Jesus went with him. Jesus answered his prayer. I don't know about you folks, but I like to see Jesus answer some prayers in my life. You need God to work in your life? Maybe you have a need that is desperate as well. Then can I tell you something? Come to Christ. How did Jairus come to Christ? I want you to notice a couple things here. He came to Christ, number one, conscious of the Lord's position. Verse 22, the Bible says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers. I want you to note that idea. One of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Get the scene in your mind, please. Jairus meets Jesus as Jesus is getting off the ship. He's in the region, if you compare scripture with scripture, then you know that Jesus now has come back to his hometown, or not his hometown, but the place where he set up residence for his Galilean ministry. It's in the town of Capernaum on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. The ruler of the synagogue there is a man that is one of the most important people in that Jewish community. The ruler of the synagogue was a man that the Jews respected greatly. And yet, as you can see, that now this man, this ruler of the synagogue, falls at the feet of a carpenter. You want to talk about something that's very different. In fact, he's the carpenter's son from Nazareth. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's the ruler of the synagogue. And yet, you know what he understands? He understands that we need to come to Christ. If we're going to come to Christ, we must humble ourselves. I dare say, I wonder how many of us, when we pray, are just praying and like God's some sort of genie and just going to do whatever we ask him to do. I wonder when was the last time we truly humbled ourselves in prayer before God, conscious of who God is. Now listen, the Bible says ye have not because ye ask not. We should ask, but we should ask recognizing who God is and where we are and who we are and where we would be if not for God's great mercy in our life. When the ruler of this synagogue arrived where Jesus was, he throws himself at the feet of Jesus. You see, he was conscious of a need, desperate really, almost beyond words, a need that only Jesus can meet. It's okay to have a desperate desire today. It's fine if it drives you to the feet of the Lord Jesus. The desperate desire, he was conscious of the Lord's position. Number two, he was confident of the Lord's power. Notice verse 23. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now, I think what's interesting here is he calls his daughter my little daughter. And we know later from the text, we'll see this, that she's about 12 years of age. You know, I used to have a nickname for my girl. I called her the sweet baby. You know what? At some point, she outgrew that. She's just 7, but you know what? She'll always be my sweet baby. Here, you can see the tenderness in this man's heart, can't you? I mean, his daughter's a teenager. In Jewish society, she's not far from being able to seek marriage. And yet, notice what he says, my little daughter. It's my little girl. She's at the point of death. Jairus had no doubt. You can see in the text, at least, he has no doubt that Jesus had the power to heal. Why? What would cause him to have this confidence in God? He says, I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Why does he have such confidence? Because he's seen Christ heal others. Somehow he had the idea, though, that you can see clearly from the text that Jesus had to be there physically to heal. Folks, though anyone who's ever had a loved one fall seriously ill or seemingly resist all the skill of doctors, grow weaker and weaker, really until the very shadow of death crosses their face. Anybody who's ever had that experience can understand a little bit of the pain of this father. I, as pastoring New Testament churches before, I've had the opportunity to see folks do that. I remember when my grandmother passed away. To see the pain and just knowing that eternity for her was near. I'm grateful she knows the Lord. I'm grateful she's with him right now. But this man had a desperate need. And he realized and believed that only Jesus could help him. You know what, folks? That's okay. If you have a need like that in your life today, I want to encourage you to do what Jairus did with his need. He took it to Christ. Do you have a desperate desire in your life? Then allow that desire to bring you to Jesus' feet, conscious of the Lord's position, confident in the Lord's power. The Bible says that we must, in James chapter 1, we must ask in faith. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We need humility in our prayers and we need confidence. We need faith in God's power. There's a desperate desire, but that's not where the story ends. Because now Jesus, in verse 24, agrees to go with Jairus to the house. And notice what happens next in the text. Number two, we note in the text, a discouraging delay. Verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Notice now, please get the scene in your mind. Jairus has met the Lord Jesus as Jesus is getting off the ship. Coming off of his healing of the maniac of Gadara. He is now there at the seaside. Jairus has come. He's fallen on his feet before him. He has asked for Jesus to come to his house, and Jesus has agreed. As they're making their way to Jairus' house, the Bible says that there's a lot of people following him and thronging him. There's people all around Jesus. Why? Well, in this case, they're hoping to see this miracle. The crowd's very interested in seeing the miracle of the Lord Jesus. And now the prospect of Jesus healing somebody who's at the point of death and somebody who is the daughter of one of the most important people in town, well, that's something worth seeing. So they're following Jesus and they're pressing in on the whole situation. The Bible then gives us, we see this scene moving. Now we are introduced to a woman who is also there, who has just as much of a desperate need as Jairus has. You see, she's in a situation as well. And the Bible introduces us to her hopeless condition. This woman had endured 12 years of hopelessness. The Bible says in verse 25 that she had an issue of blood 12 years. We don't know exactly what that disease was, but under the Mosaic law, we do know this. Her condition made her untouchable, if not a complete social outcast. In Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 19, the Bible says, "And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, and she shall be put apart 7 days. And whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even." So you can see the Bible and the Mosaic law under which most of these Jews are living, that her disease made her an outcast. It rendered her an outcast. Her disease was defiling and it was debilitating. It cut her off from society, but not only that, it also cut her off from the synagogue, her place of worship. And it had gone on for 12 years. Her problem was compounded by two things that you see in verse 26. What are they? First of all, man failed her. Notice what the Bible says. And had suffered many things of many physicians. Man failed her, but not only that, money had failed her. Verse 26. And had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. She'd suffered embarrassment, pain, disappointment, financial ruin. The doctors could not diagnose her condition. They could not heal her. They prescribed their useless remedies. They collected their fees, and then they gave up on her when they could not get anything else from her. In spite of everything, for 12 years, this woman has tried to get better. Nothing was working. She just got worse and worse. Her sad tale, folks, is a story of desperation. Think of it, bleeding, broken, bankrupt. She does the only thing that she can think of to do, and that is she turns to Jesus Christ. Because notice what happens in verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments. Aren't you grateful for the day that you heard of Jesus? That's the day everything changed. Someone told her the good news about Jesus. She heard, and then she came to him. And by the way, that's the way it works. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they call in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher?" See, it takes someone in your, maybe you know someone who's got a desperate need. Let me encourage you to point them to Jesus. This woman, somebody told her about Christ. You know, there's someone in your life that needs to hear about Christ from you. Her hopeless condition, number two in the text, we note this, is healing compassion. Verse 29, the Bible says, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. I want you to notice something. Christ was not just concerned with her physical body. You say, how do you know that? Because she was already healed. In verse 29, as soon as she touched his garment in faith, the Lord Jesus healed her. So did Jesus have to stop to talk to this woman? No. But you see, Jesus Christ is concerned with more than her physical body. He's also concerned with her spiritual well-being. He wants more than just to heal her physically. He wants to heal her spiritually. You see, the Bible says, first of all, that it points out there's an obscure touch of faith. She just wanted to do it without anybody knowing. I'm just going to be one of the many people, the score of people at the time, who are probably bumping into Jesus as Jesus is moving through the crowd toward Jairus' house. She just wants to be one of. She doesn't want any attention. She doesn't want anybody to even, she's probably not even supposed to be there with her issue. But yet she works through the crowd. She has to get to Jesus. And when she touches him, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus healed her. Now, though, he stops. Can you imagine? Jesus had been moving, no doubt not as quickly as he could have. There weren't a bunch of people bumping into him all the time. But he stops. Can you imagine this woman whose whole goal was to touch Jesus in anonymity? Now Jesus stops. And he turns about and he's looking. And he says, "Who touched me?" Now, what do you think's going on in that woman's mind? Oh no, he knows. Oh no, I'm not going to be hidden. And then all of a sudden, notice what the Bible says. Verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. In other words, there's a crowd of people. But have you ever been like in a mall or some crowded place? And you're just looking at people's faces, but then all of a sudden you see someone you recognize, perhaps somebody you go to church with or whatever, and you see a face you actually recognize. You know what happened? You're seeing a lot of faces, but you know what? When you start to see an individual that you know, it's interesting, because then all of a sudden you stop and go, oh, hey, there, yeah, I know you. That's what's happening here. Jesus is looking at a lot of faces. And by the way, he knows every single face he's looking at. He's the creator God of the universe. But you know what? When he locks eyes with that woman, see, she knows what's happened. And now when Jesus locks eyes with her, you know what she realizes? He knows what's happened. You see, Jesus is not going to let her just touch with this obscure touch of faith. The Bible says in a parallel passage in Luke chapter 8, in verse 47, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. You see, that's what Jesus wants, is not just the obscure touch of faith. Christ wants her open testimony of faith. Notice verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. It's a powerful testimony. She says, she comes before him and says, the Bible says she tells him all the truth. You know what that would have involved? 12 years of doctor's appointments. Every dime I have. Every treatment that they suggested, I've tried everything, Lord, and nothing has worked. You know what? And by the way, Jesus knows all of that too. But you know what? It's a powerful testimony to everyone around. Verse 34, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Notice what he says, not your touch. It's not your touch. It's your faith that's made thee whole. You know what will make someone whole today? That lost and hopeless sinner that you know? Maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about do this and do this. Jesus has already done it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. It's your faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus that'll save you. But let's remember Jairus. You know who's in this crowd? Who's has a completely different reaction when Jesus stops? That's Jairus. You see, he's got a desperate need. His daughter is at the point of death, and now all of a sudden, Jesus has stopped moving. We are no longer progressing toward my house. We've stopped. And Jesus has turned around and is talking to this woman. Maybe Jairus knew the woman. Maybe he didn't. But either way, Jesus isn't getting any closer to his house. And he has to be nervous. He has to be tapping his toe, going, my daughter is dying, and Jesus has stopped moving. And then the worst news he could possibly hear comes. Verse 35. While he yet spake, that's speaking of Jesus speaking to the woman, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? It's over. It's over. Your daughter's died. Any hope that you might have had for Jesus to heal? Jesus has just healed this woman. No doubt Jairus is going, yay, what about my daughter? I'm sure on some level he's happy, but he's got a need. And Jesus was working to meet that need in his mind. And now it's over. It's hopeless. Or so he thinks. Because I want you to see what happens, what Christ tells Jairus. His message is in verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Fear and faith are constantly pulling in opposite directions. The Lord saw and he knew the despair. He could see the despair that was sweeping over Jairus' face. His little girl was dead. It's all over. All that's left now is the funeral, the empty bedroom, the empty house, and an empty heart. It's all over. The internal struggle within Jairus, all of us can imagine, can't we? Jairus had thought that while there had been life, there was hope, and now it was hopeless. But wait a minute. Jesus had just healed the woman's hopeless condition. Surely he could do the same for my daughter, but now, not even Jesus could heal my daughter when she's dead. It's over, right? No. You see, Jesus could see the struggle in this man's face, the despair that was beginning to win, the realization that it must be hopeless now. And so he looks at Jairus and he gives five powerful, life-changing words. Be not afraid, only believe. He had just communicated that concept to the woman with the issue and to the crowd, including Jairus, when he'd said, thy faith hath made thee whole. And so he's reiterating that same statement in verse 34 now to Jairus. Be not afraid, only believe. Jairus had faith enough to come to Christ at the beginning, and now Christ is asking him to renew his faith and believe in Jesus again. Christ's message, Christ's method in verse 37. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. You see, what we have described in this passage, it's not just a desperate desire and a distracting delay, but number three, a dramatic deliverance. Christ's message was to believe God, but then we see his method. It's very private. There's multitudes available. A bunch of them were following him. There was a bunch of professional mourners that were there. But you know what? The Bible says, with all these multitudes available, Christ chooses only five people to witness one of his greatest miracles. How polar opposite that is from a lot of the healing that happens in religious groups today. In fact, if the camera's not rolling, we don't want to see it. All these people available, Jesus chooses just five. I think something else that's amazing about Christ's method is how powerful it is. Notice how many words he speaks. Verse 41, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, two words. Then we have the interpretation of those two words, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Two words. Boy, that's powerful. Two words from Jesus, and by the way, he didn't even need any words. Two words, though, he raised this girl from the dead. You know, folks, the message today that Jesus had for Jairus is the message that he still has for us. Be not afraid, only believe. There's so much fear in our society today, but we have the privilege of trusting in the Creator God of the universe, the God who is omnipresent and omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He has all power. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you're like the woman with an issue of blood in our text. You need Christ to heal you. You need to believe him and receive Christ as your personal Savior before it's too late. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that is your great need today. Hope that you'll receive him, that you'll come to him by faith. Jesus told that woman, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith, be of good cheer, thy faith hath made thee whole. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, in verse 34. Christian, do you have a desperate need in your life? A need maybe today that only God can meet. We're in that kind of shape in our country. Vance Havner once said, the situation is desperate. The problem is the people of God have never gotten desperate about it. Maybe you're concerned about our nation. Maybe you're concerned about a health challenge or a job situation that you have in your life. Maybe you're concerned about a wayward child who's leaving the Lord spiritually. Maybe you're concerned about a lost loved one. I don't know what specific need you have in your life, but whatever your need is, I do know the one that can help you. I'm inviting you today to desperately come to God with it. Get serious about your need. Don't be discouraged if there seems to be a delay. Man, Jairus had every reason to be discouraged, but God's message to him is the same message that he has to you and I. That is to be not afraid. Amen. Only believe. I've been praying, and God just doesn't seem to be working in this situation. Don't be discouraged. The Lord is in control. His message to you is the same. Be not afraid, only believe. I don't know what need you have in your life, but I do know this, the Lord Jesus can meet every single one of them. Come to him with it. Lay it at his feet. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. God help us to be not afraid, but only believe.